Welcome to What's Left, a weekly political discussion challenge to the mainstream left. I'm Eduardo Barca with co-hosts, teacher and socialist Andy Lipson, and community organizer and socialist Kenny Cepeda. Today, we will be discussing the USA 2020 census that takes place every 10 years, and we'll be discussing the politics around it. Now, the Constitution of the United States mandates a population count to allocate seats in Congress to inform redistricting of the political boundaries and to guide the distribution of literally hundreds of billions of federal funds. So I suppose that this topic will have some debate around it, and we'll see where it goes, especially since this very particular census was very political last year in 2019 around the citizenship question. Now, before, if I may, we discuss today's topic, I would like to remind folks that we are online at what-s-left.webnode.com. You can find this and any additional information on the episode notes. If you like what we are doing here, please subscribe, rate, review, and share your favorite episode wherever you found this episode. Thank you. On to our topic. So I was wondering if it's all right, like I had already asked Andy as we were waiting for Kenny to get on the on our video conference call, if I could just read a little bit of an article,
before
if that's
that,
all right.
Before you do that, can like we've taken this is a bit of a diversion topic. You know, like this is a swing from, you know, the stimulus package, all the stuff around coronavirus. So how did we come upon this topic?
Well, I was just going to get there that this month, Andy Lipson, is the 1st of April is census. The 1st of April is the census day. So this month is the month when the census, when the USA begins to send out folks, the boroughs starts to send out folks, and every state has some funding to allocate to workers to track people down so they can fill out the census this month. And because of the coronavirus, we have this, the deadline is mid-August now, so things are being pushed back. And so this is why we're discussing this, because this is, we're being asked to do this either by mail, online, or by phone.
Which so my memory is a bit different. That's not my memory of why we're discussing this. My memory of why we're discussing this is at the end of our last episode, maybe it was last episode, you were urging people to vote for the census, you were to fill out their census, correct?
Because I think it was either April or...
I understand.
Yeah.
You gave your reasons. Continue to give your reasons. I get it. But yeah, you were urging people to fill out the census, and I was like, nah, forget that. Don't fill that thing out. You know? And Kenny was not sure. Kenny was in the middle. So on the basis of these positions, you know, we were like, we should discuss this. So
yeah,
that is my understanding of the origin of this topic point.
And I hadn't filled out the census or looked at the questions yet either, so... That kind of swayed my opinion a little bit.
This I had brought it up in the last time, Andy, because there will be funds
given to
communities.
Yes.
And I think it's important that certain communities, and from this article that I would read from your favorite website, Counterpunch, because I know the kind of media that you attack me for. So, therefore... I found your website, your favorite website, one of, and I, aside from Fox News, I
found, this is going to be one of these episodes.
There's an inside joke for folks that have been following us. We go back. We'll link to the one of the episodes were discussing Fox News and Alex Jones. Anyhow, so because you constantly attack the media sources that I use, I decided I would find something that you favorably look at.
Yes.
And I thought I would read something about that from that article. Right. So I don't know what other reasons I I mean, the reason I gave was the same as last time that I had mentioned it, what, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago?
Correct.
Which is that there are funds that are going to be allocated to communities, especially that we need to look at communities of color that will be impacted by this if we don't fill it out. And I'm not sure if I'm ready to enter the debate yet, as I can see you're ready for it. I would rather read this article.
Yes, I'm sorry. Let's let you do your thing. But I just wanted to set the record straight about how we came to this place. Thank God we're separated, because it would just be a battle already.
All right. Well, I look, I mean, we're kind of like, Andy, whoever knows that Andy and I normally, we like to throw the ball at each other. But really, I do like to poke at Andy, because sometimes we are, as we're going to get into some debate, and I don't actually know where Kenny stands on this. I'm curious. And I'm just going to read just a few little, what do you call it, statistics or a little few measures that I got from this article on Counterpunch. And that is that there are going to be nearly 1 in 4 Blacks, young people, and lower income people, and 1 in 5 Hispanics that are going to be reluctant to participate. And a lot of that lack of participation impacts their community. If we just look at Texas alone, there is no state committee for a U.S. census to be encouraged. 40% of the population is Hispanic, and many are no doubt terrified by the fervid debate over immigration. And they could gain as many as 3 seats in Congress, and if its population was counted. And in 2016, Texas received over $59 billion in federal funds derived from the census data. And this is the money that we can get into the redistricting in certain districts. The way that we get elected officials are, and here's where I feel it's like a voting issue debate we're going to get into. The redistricting happens by population count. And that is how we get as many representatives in Congress to be able to have representatives for the depending on the population. That's how we have the House of Representatives. And the funding that gets into those communities for public schools, as well as for various public institutions, is housing, severely impacted by the number of people that fill out the U.S. Census. And just to put it out there, I know that you two, well, especially Andy and I, when we have gotten into debate, one of the things that you have always said is, this isn't the revolutionary change you're looking for. And I would like to always pose this question to you, as I feel like we're always delving into somehow, some way or another. I don't know when your little revolution is going to come. All right. Let it come. Why are you laughing? Cut this out. I'm being serious.
I'm listening. No,
I have no idea when your revolution is going to come. I would like it to come sooner. If it comes tomorrow, count me in. I will sign up. But I don't see it coming. And if it's not coming, we have to take care of the people in our communities right now. I'm not concentrating on what will happen in the future, theoretically, what needs to happen. The organizing that you need to do, do it. What needs to happen is we need to take care urgently of the people that are right here, right now, being affected by the lack of resources and the need for funding in their institutions that we use. There you go, rolling your eyes, Kenny. So,
Kenny,
I'm
stop
just pointing
doing that
out for our listeners. So, all I'm just saying is this is important, and I mean, I want to hear your thoughts. I do want you both to share your thoughts. I'm just trying to highlight the importance of us to think of the now, at the immediate. And at the same time, think of the future, which I think that you both, or especially you, Andy, concentrate on, which is great. And I would like to put our energies there. And I think that this is one area as well that our community is urgently in need of. It's not very sophisticatedly put, because I feel as if we already had some baggage with something like this, but go ahead.
No, it's the start, Eduardo, so I appreciate that.
I pick my side. I pick the side.
Hold on. Kenya's head has been pulled.
You know, the official statement. And just because you address about this revolution thing, you know, the way I see it, it's not an event. It's not one thing. It's a series of battles that, you know, don't start tomorrow. They start today. What you're basically citing is harm reduction. That is the soundbite that I hear from a lot of liberal media. And when I think about the census now, after I looked at it and I tried to fill it out, and they started asking questions of race, they started asking indirectly, you know, personal questions like your address, your entire name. It's not about counting people, really. Because even historically, I looked at, you know, what the census was about, and it's always been about power and about political power, and it's about deciding who gets to vote. So the first thing that really comes to mind when I think about the census is gerrymandering. So in gerrymandering is redrawing districts. And redrawing districts is not for inclusion, it's actually for exclusion. It's to choose the voters that you want. That is what it's about. So then I throw the question back. If that's what that's about, why would I want to fill out this information? Shouldn't I just maybe click white in the box? So those are my initial thoughts.
Gerrymandering, I think, can be seen as one aspect. However, what about the communities that you serve as a community organizer? You are part of a very diverse Latin American group, I think, right? I mean, I've gotten to know some of the people that you work and you serve for. You know that some of the population that you work with are not going to have the stimulus check that was being allocated during the $1 trillion stimulus package bailout. And I know that it's not enough even for those that are US Americans. You know that public education is affecting our students of color. I'm wondering, you don't think that $10,000 that could come in for every individual, even an immigrant. This is not an immigrant. This is not about if you're a citizen or not. But every single person that will be filling out the census has some money that will be given depending on how many people fill out the census. Do you not see that your community will be affected?
Again, because I am in the community, I'm asking, where the hell are these funds? Because, you know, the people in this community still have to go to shit schools, you know, with limited resources. They still have maybe old books. Where the hell, you know, is the money when people go to they avoid going to a public hospital or taking an ambulance because, you know, even if they are social, you know, you can go to a social worker and decrease the bill, you're still going to have to pay a lot of money. You know, where are all these resources? You know, I right now that this crisis has hit, you know, it's a lot of us in the community, a lot of people contributing in you know, supporting each other. In, you know, churches, look at homelessness. California, the most liberal state in this, you know, maybe New York, homelessness is very high. And you can make arguments. Some people say that people come from outside. But no, like, where are all these things? You know, this is, to me, this is attached to voting. This is attached to, it is in the same realm. Of this notion that we harm reduction is a thing, it's not a reality. The fact is that it's just stringing us along, and I see more harm because we're delaying the inevitable, that we have to fight back, you know, and that something fundamental has to change, you know, and again, revolution doesn't start by one or two crazy heads, you know, and revolution to me is fundamentally changing a power dynamic, And you're not going to do that through voting. You're not going to do that when they're rigging the system, you know, to get what they want. And even if they do it, you know, like Democrats rig it a little better for their side, we know that the Democrats are frauds. So I'm asking, where are all these resources? That's my perspective.
Go ahead, Andy.
Yeah, so I am going to say, not only is it not the 2020 census, like the 2010 census, like the year 2000 census, like the year 1990 census, like all these censuses, what does not reduce harm, it actually does harm. These census, and when I say that, I'm not talking about how the data from the census was used. The 1910 census data was used to find draft dodgers who didn't want to fight World War I and throw them in prison, and how the census data in 1940s was used to intern Japanese that the U.S. government denied even happened until it was proven in 2007 that they had used census data to throw. I'm not talking about that harm. That is harm. That is part of the lie of the census. But that's only a surface lie. The surface lie that this information will not be used against you. Just like I don't believe that people, the census in 2020 very well could be used to say who got their vaccination shots for a coronavirus. And if you didn't, here's what's going to happen, right? This is the thing. But the lie underneath it is that this is actually about portioning out power to people. I looked at a lot of like websites, kind of mainstream websites at first, to sort of see what was the thing that they said about the census. And all of them acknowledged the economic inequality we exist in. But they said, at least we have one thing. At least we have this thing, which instead of looking at wealth, instead of looking at property ownership, the census, that is, looks at just the population and apportions power on the basis of that. And that is a lie. And I want to start with that. I want to start that lie with actually the founding document which establishes the U.S. Census, which is the U.S. Constitution. And here's what it says. And I'm going to ask you a question, Eduardo, and then I'm going to say some more. This is Article 1, Section 2 of the Constitution, which says, representatives, which is what you were talking about, and direct taxes shall be apportioned among the several states which may be included within this union according to their respective numbers, which shall be determined by adding to the whole number of free persons, including those bound to service for terms of years, indentured servants, that's what they mean, and excluding Indians who are not taxed, and three-fifths of all other persons. The actual enumeration shall be made within 3 years after the first meeting of the Congress of the United States, and with every subsequent year term of 10 years in such a manner as shall by law direct. Now, first question. Who are those three-fifths of the people they're talking about? They're basically saying that there's some group that the decision where direct taxes will be directed and representatives will be based on some three-fifths. Who are they talking about?
You tell us.
Slaves. They're talking, this is the beginning of the compromise made. The reason this is important is not just, oh, our country is founded on slavery. Of course it was founded on slavery. But this is why this is important. In counting those three, each black slave as three-fifths, were they doing that to figure out how much money those slaves would get? How much direct taxes, how much representation they would get? Or instead, were they figuring out how much power was going to be portioned out to elites, Southern elites in this case? Which one was it? Is that, in counting those three-fifths, are they determining how much power goes to the people or how much power goes to the representative? What do you think?
Obviously to the elite. In that situation, yes.
That situation, every situation. In every situation. Here's how I know that. Because what you just mentioned is they use the 2010 census to figure out how to portion out taxes. And in fact, they say direct taxes. How much direct taxes are collected by the U.S. in 2019? How many direct taxes were collected? $2 trillion. $2 trillion. I'll tell you, I looked it up. $1.7 trillion in income taxes for workers and another $300 trillion and that's low for the corporations, but that's $300 billion. So it's $2 trillion. Now, they talk about apportioning out $400 billion in housing, in education, but they leave out another $1.6 trillion. Now, that's because the apportionment has nothing to do with counting numbers. These counting numbers are all about how do we use people to apportion political power to elites. That's all they're doing. Whether they, and this is where gerrymandering comes into it. That's all the census has ever been, is how do we use this census to divide political power among those people who have that political power, and how they, and they fight over how to decide it. They want, and Democrats and Republicans look hungrily over that census data to figure out how do they portion out their piece for them versus how do they portion out their piece for them. So this census is part of a lie that says, oh, the way you will get money from the government, the way you will be represented by the government is by filling out the census. False. It's the way you will get fleeced by the government. You will either get fleeced like slaves or fleeced like wage earners. That's all it is. That's all this document is. And in fact, you actually slipped a little bit into it, Eduardo, when you said, look, if black people would fill this thing out, they might get more money. That's completely false. Black people were severely disenfranchised during the 2010 or 2008 economic crisis. No money went to their property. They were severely dislodged from New Orleans in 2005 for the Hurricane Katrina. There was no part of the census that helped those people get that stuff back. And it's not because they didn't fill it out. It's because the U.S. government doesn't give a shit about the census except for how to apportion power to the people who run that government. It is not for us. It's there to get us to believe that something will happen without us acting and that our government is going to do something for us if we just fill this out. And in fact, we can blame the people who don't get it for not getting it by because they didn't fill out their census. So no, this census, like in some ways like voting, is a deep, hurtful lie to the working class. And it's a lie told to them so that they don't feel like the only way they're going to get it is the same old, which is you have to fight for everything you get. And that's the only way.
You said, so you're saying that during the time that Hurricane Katrina, so just to be clear, you're saying that they did not receive help as they did not fill out the, they did or did not fill out.
What I'm saying, the census, the Hurricane Katrina came in 2005. By 2010, a census comes, which probably, I would imagine, gives them all sorts of information about how people, and this is also after the 2008 economic crisis where people lost houses. After 2010, they know who were all the new renters. They know where blacks have been removed and moved to, and not a single dime goes their way. Not a single one. No, there was no part of it. In fact, they got fleeced even more because we see how the divide between rich and poor has grown since that time. So, right. Yeah, and all they do is use it as an excuse to apportion the small part of the direct taxes that go to the working class or that they say go to the working class. But really what they're doing is the Democrats and Republicans are figuring out how to portion out some partial tax money to affect the to direct them to voters who they think will get them elected next round. It's very similar to my union, which the teachers, my union responds much more to the needs of the teachers than the paraprofessionals because it's a larger group and a more powerful group. And that's what it lets Republicans and Democrats know. Who is the powerful voting bloc that you're gonna represent in order to keep your power and continue to do what you need to do for the rich? That's all it lets them know.
Let's be clear. I don't trust the government to save us, to take care of us completely. I do think that there will be. It's like this $1,200 stimulus check that we're getting. It isn't enough, but I don't think it deviates from working on other projects to create a revolution. I think it just is this side thing. I guess I'm not hearing from you the argument. You're just saying you're advocating not to do it, but there is this other, that if there's a small piece that can be given to you just by filling out something, and not to expect the government to save you necessarily, but if it can have, if the demographics are taken into place for serving, for intervention on health and wellness, issues, if it could survey statistical research needs, if it could, I think the way I see it isn't that it's going to necessarily going to, when I say the $10,000, that is not something I necessarily think that you're going to, I think it's going to be something that can be given to your community, but not directly. You may or may not be able to get that access to it. But there is going to be within that community, for example, like in San Francisco, that will definitely need some of those funds for some of the childcare Head Start programs that we have, or the public health department that we have here in San Francisco, that does largely is largely used by folks of color. And I can't speak to Hurricane Katrina, but I know that the low-income population is served by public resources here in the Bay Area. And I think that that's, I think I'm trying to debate in my head, like wondering, okay, because I don't know the statistics of what Hurricane Katrina, what happened. But I'd like to actually find out more. And I don't know, and I hadn't read anything about that. So I would like for you to share that with our audience, and I would like to read it myself. I simply am saying that is awful and disfortunate, and I'd like to look into it. But largely, the population count and the demographics that are counted of folks that are disenfranchised, the communities that do get served by public institutions are going to be hindered or going to be affected the most. And that's how I figure this when it comes to Head Start, Medicare, Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, Pell Grants for College, and Reduced Price School Lunch Programs, anything that we largely use in predominantly poor Black and Brown communities. And if I feel it's very meager when I think of how much money is being poured into the military, when I think of how much money is poured into bailout programs such as we're having here. But any funding that we're already having in this very broken system, even if it is a little bit of it, I think could supplement the already deficient programs that we have for communities that are struggling. And I don't think that if you could direct me and tell me how, particularly here in the Bay Area, locally, you have seen it affect these communities, the census by not filling out or filling out, I'd like to know that. And I you're talking about Hurricane Katrina.
No, I'd like to know locally. Also the economic crisis, so a whole host of political events which took place between 2000 and 2010 that, once the 2010 census happened, did not mean a reapportionment of funds to people who had been either disenfranchised economically or had been moved from their homes. I'm saying it had nothing to do with it. All the 2010 census did was give people the illusion that the government was going to do something for them. And in fact, right, it didn't. And filling it out is harmful to you, because when you're filling that out, you're telling yourself, this something's going to come my way. I'm going to get something now. The government's going to do something for me. That's a complete lie. So I'm not going to tell
I don't think everyone thinks that way.
That's what you just said.
That's not, I know that.
No, I'm just saying, Eduardo, that's your argument. I'm telling you your argument.
No, I am arguing that you will get a meager portion.
I'm saying even a meager portion. I'm saying zero. You will get slammed. You are going to get throttled by this ruling class.
No, you're not going to get zero. I think you're going extreme. You're not going to get zero. You are going to get a meager portion. I acknowledge that. I will acknowledge that.
No, you're going to get fleeced. You're going
to
get
But to say zero funding is
negative.
Not true.
I'm saying not zero. I should say negative. Income taxes are taken away from you. You will get less than you paid back in the income taxes. That's what it means when I said $2 trillion out there. you're getting fleeced by the census, and you thinking the census is basically just is signing on to that lie. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
The way I see it, and I hope I can make this argument, but to me, it's not even, yes, of course, there is money involved, but ultimately, it's about power, you know, and, you know, and how much is that worth to you, $10,000, you know, and so it's funny that you brought up earlier us thinking about the future, but then, okay, so this is about the future, too, you know, you submitting to this system that is going to rearrange power, and if we're trying to undo some wrongs, this is just accepting that these wrongs are going to get worse, really, because the evidence shows the contrary. You know, this is just, you know, really settling for the crumbs on the table. You know, in committing to a dead end system. You know, in more tricks. You know, and more like, look here, look what you're getting. Just like the $1,200 that we talked about for the you know, the stimulus package. That was another trick in the book. Yeah. In the short run, okay, $1,200 will help you, you know, for this month. But you know the conditions, the shit that's going to happen, this system, capitalism, is going to, you know, consolidate more power up top, even further.
More power, how? By filling up the census.
Because we are going to be, the census, because you're committing to voting, and you're assuming the voting is going to give you more power.
I'm not interested by promoting the U.S. Census that people have to commit to voting.
Well, that's the whole basis of the power of it. The basis of it is the Electoral College. It's the way your representatives are set up. The whole basis of it is how many representatives you'll get.
Yes, there is a portion of that. Yes.
Secondly, it's not just, look, Eduardo, you forgot two parts. It's representatives and direct taxes. Look, how much does the U.S. government collect in direct taxes? That's income tax. I said it's $1.7 trillion. Is that the number that you've been reading about that's being portioned out? Is $1.7 trillion coming back to people? How much is coming back to people?
Well, 132 government programs in 2015.
How much money is being redivided back to people?
I don't have that.
You have that number. You've been looking it up. You're lying. It's $400 billion, some people say. It's $600 billion other times, people say. That means $1.1 trillion is lost. Where did that money go? That's direct taxes, Eduardo. What's the deal? What's the great deal people just got in having they paid $1.7 trillion in taxes, and they get trickled down $400 billion, maybe $600 billion down to themselves. Tell me how they made a great deal. That's a great deal, Eduardo. Give me $170, and I'll give you $60 back. That sounds like a great deal. You're not losing anything. And in fact, here's the other part, though, Eduardo.
So
people sit still. Hold on, Eduardo. The other part of it is people sit still as well, and they accept this fleecing because they think it's natural and normal. And in fact, they accept liberals blaming them for being fleeced when they don't fill out the census.
Well, I think this is a bipartisan issue.
Not sure, liberals and Republicans, but whatever. Politicians can blame it. Republicans are certainly willing to blame immigrants and black people for their own oppression.
I mean, I take that back as a bipartisan issue. What I mean, let me clarify when I say a bipartisan issue. I think, personally, that this should be a bipartisan issue. It is, though, a partisan issue because many, like states like Florida, don't really allocate certain funds of their state to be able to track down people to fill out the census because it doesn't benefit them. So I should just...
How getting back only $600 billion when you've put in $1.7 trillion, how is that a good deal? Can you just tell me that?
It's not a good deal. If that's what you want to hear, I agree.
Tell me why this is such a wonderful thing. When you put in $1.7 trillion but you get $600 billion, can you tell me why that's a good thing?
I think that by not filling it out at all, you're just not going to get anything.
So you get completely robbed. This is signing on to robbery, Eduardo. That's what you're doing. People who fill out the census are saying, please rob me. I sign on to this. We're saying, me and Kenny are basically saying, you should not sign on to that lie. You should reject that lie. Now, not filling out the census is not the beginning of revolution. But it's at least an acknowledgement that I am not signing on to your bullshit lie and filling out this stupid form so you can tell me later on I'm not going to get money. You're already robbing from me anyway.
I think that's very easy to say, Andy, for those that are not severely impacted. You know, I think here sometimes I'm being labeled the elitist sometimes. Hint, hint, and Kenny. I was just joking with that one. No, seriously, I think that there are, look, I'm not going to deny that. I'm not going to say any, the reason why I'm not opposing what you're saying, Andy, is because I'm not necessarily in disagreement with you on that issue. You see, where I'm in disagreement is that you think that we should completely just stop participating in some process because you think that the system is too broken, that you should just let it, I think, just let it crack, completely shatter. And that normally tends to, I feel, that normally tends to be on the backbone of the very, very disenfranchised, where you see, for example, the lack of funding that exists and the lack of participation that exists in southern states who don't have abortion clinics. And that falls under women who don't have access to healthcare. And they're severely affected right now. And when I was talking about the future, Kenny, I'm talking about in some immediate future. I'm not talking about some revolution that has been advocated for, but just not you, just you two socialists. Many socialists have advocated. There aren't just two socialists here. There are many, many socialists in this country, and socialists just as hardcore as you, Andy, that I have met in the UK. And when I was there for the year I was there, I forget what year, but the point is that there are people out there. And I agree with a lot of what you both say, except the revolution isn't going to come for these folks anytime soon. And it's going, and I really do think that the programs that serve lower income families, even in rural states, that include Medicare, that include programs and Pell Grants, and these things will be affected. And it's like we were having with this online discussion, I felt like the last time, for the students that we were discussing, some of the radical approaches of just letting go. It just, I feel, will fall on the backs of those who just are hurt in the long run strongly than those who are not in this system. And if you don't want to fill it out, I will say to the audience, you don't have to fill it out. No one is forcing anyone. It is mandatory by the Constitution. Let me finish. It is mandatory by the Constitution. But that's where I feel it's, maybe I'm not so much in agreement with the mandatory part. But I'm not advocating for people to fill it out by obligation. But I have served, and you have as well, Andy, in public schools. And so much of the time we're talking about the lack of resources that are in our public schools and so many budget cuts that exist. And if our children and their families in mixed status families are not counted, I feel the brunt of the impact will be falling onto them. And that's who I'm looking at when I see this. So you don't have to fill it out, Kenny. You don't have to fill it out, Andy. But I encourage you to. And if you don't want to, that's all right. I'm encouraging those who listen to this that listen to what Andy has said and derive from their own decision, from what we are discussing, to make their own critical choices. I understand that what you have mentioned, and it's all right. I simply think that there are... There's going to be a huge... There are going to be flaws in the distribution of resources. Yes. I'm not in disagreement about that. And I'm also afraid of how we're being tracked by surveillance. But I already think we're already being tracked.
I agree with that.
With the bank information, our social security. Yeah. So that's why I really... It's like this iPhone that I have that I'm using right now. I'm already being tracked. So... What difference does it make when you say that we should have the U.S. Census not taken for those who are being drafted? When people have found me, even when I didn't fill out the U.S. Census, when the minute I turned 18 years old in this country, and I didn't fill out the U.S. Census.
Okay, I feel like we're switching gears a little bit. I just want to make a last comment on this whole notion of, you know, protecting the most vulnerable, because it's a very liberal, you know, argument. You know, not letting go because the most vulnerable are going to lose. And, you know, the fact is, if you look at the evidence, shit is getting bad. You know, and the further away you get from power, you know, as that vulnerable people, the less you get to decide. So by not letting go, you're actually making the same people that we're trying to protect more vulnerable. So... There is no other way. That's how I feel. You have to let go of some of this shit. You know, and by prolonging the, you know, the fact that we have to do something about it and that this shit ain't working, but perpetuating this lie, we're doing way more harm. Way more harm. Because shit is coming and coming soon. And guess who's going to suffer more? I agree with you. So there is no time to waste. Like, you know, arguing this bullshit. That's how I feel.
And how many in your community are ready to... Where are they ready revolutionaries, Kenny?
Eduardo, but I'm arguing the facts. The fact is that they're not better off because they filled out some fucking census or they voted...
Nor do I think that they'll be better off.
What's that?
Nor do I think that they will be better off.
Yes, you do. That's your argument. You think it's small, but it's a little better.
I think that for the meantime, it's a band-aid.
Right? You know,
I have said this before.
It's an attack.
I think that you want to leave a gash wide open and let it dry out.
No.
I want to
right now.
I want to put a little bit of alcohol, you know, just to clean it up a little bit, and then rush over to the hospital.
Eduardo, let's talk about right now about this shit. What's happening? The COVID it has created that fucking wound. People are bleeding. There's something bleeding out there. Who the fuck is taking care of that? I'm sorry, I'm pissed. But who is taking care of that right now? Look, if you come into the mission, who is taking care of that? The government. Where the fuck is the government? Where the fuck is that census money?
San Francisco has one of the best healthcare programs, Kenny, in all of the country. San Francisco has a public healthcare system that allows people. And I have actually visited a clinic. They're right there. Health 360 is a clinic. The Haight-Ashbury Clinic, General Hospital, you can walk into any hospital emergency room, even if you're an immigrant in San Francisco, and not to be afraid. So I don't want to hear that, Kenny. You can walk in and you don't have to pay for that.
Where's the money coming from? Everything's coming from
the government. I have sent myself people.
Everything's coming from the government.
That comes from the government.
You know what the name of our public hospital is?
The public hospital. We have General Hospital that accepts
anyone. What's the name of our hospital?
Huh?
What is the name of that hospital?
General Hospital, that is now Zuckerberg, yes.
Yeah, Zuckerberg.
Yes, yeah. What about it? What is your point? You're saying to name one place. What is it? What are they doing? You can go into those hospitals,
Eduardo,
now.
The census is a portion of federal government funds. We just spent the last 3 weeks ago talking about how the federal government just screwed people over. And that was independent of the census. And now you want to come back and tell people, fill out the census, and this same government that has literally just pounded you into the ground and robbed you blind, now go ahead and trust them. So look, I didn't say My problem with what you said in the episode was you were urging people to fill out the census. I don't urge people to fill out the census. I'm going to tell them it's a waste of time. I'm not going
to tell them. I have a question. I have a question for Kenny. Kenny, do you think that people don't use those resources?
If you really, okay, you know, this is what I'll give you. When I fill out the census, mark that you're white. Why the fuck are they asking what race am I? You know, and then they even make it confusing about it. Like, I don't even know. I truly don't know. Look at that fucking questionnaire and answer what race I am. I honestly don't know what to answer. I am genuine when I tell you I don't know what to answer. What difference does that make if I need to get resources?
Our public education is largely serving what demographics, Andy?
The rich.
What demographics? What race?
It's not based on, it's the problems here are not based on race, Eduardo. I don't accept that. White workers, black workers, Latino workers are all getting fleeced. We're all getting screwed. It's the rich.
Eduardo, you like, what population does the public, does it serves lower income families?
No, it doesn't serve. It serves the elite.
Public education. Eduardo. What population of the student, what's the student population?
Eduardo, so there are
lower income families.
So, okay, Eduardo. No, I want to answer this. Hold on. I want to answer this. Okay.
Yeah.
So lower income families, where is this going?
You're telling me it doesn't serve
okay, the community. Okay. So
that's what you said earlier.
Okay. There are about, I read about 12 million kids in poverty. You know, about 3.6 are black, about 4.1 are Latinos, about 4 million are whites. What percentage of injustice is fair? Should I tell those kids?
First, you said it does not serve your community.
Should I tell those kids to fuck off because there's more?
First, you said it doesn't serve your community. I have a question. You said it doesn't serve your community.
Well, you know what? My community, Latino community, is very small. They're all in Richmond and Oakland, actually.
Said it does not serve your community. The largest population, that the student population that use it, that are served by public, the public education serves lower income families in San Francisco, in Oakland. It serves the community. Of course it does. There has been $675 billion that have served in programs that serve lower income families. And it's very meager, yes. But 132 government programs use that information from the census to determine where that money would go. And this largely affects, this is a Band-Aid situation. I understand. It's a reformist Band-Aid situation.
No, it's not.
It is not the radical sort of transformation I would like to see. I understand what you both are saying. I'm not this one or nothing kind of approach. I think that we do something on the side and do the other on the side simultaneously and try to work.
And has that worked?
Has it worked? I mean, I could say the same thing for you all of you socialists. Has it worked? I mean, the question that you're asking me, it's just I pose it the same way, right? I mean,
and here's what I'll say, which is when there's been the biggest way workers have redistributed wealth has been primarily on the basis of class struggle. And the census is not a stepping stone to class struggle. It is an ideological tool to say class struggle is not needed, that things will come your way without it. And so that's why I say it's not a Band-Aid, Eduardo. It is a redirect. It is a gaslight in order to fool people into thinking this government is going to do anything other than screw you. So when you ask me how many people does it serve, public education only serves the rich. We talked about that before. It's a system of indoctrination to get workers to accept exploitation. That's what I do. That's my job, is to get them indoctrinated so they're prepared to be exploited by future capitalists. That's my job. So the most of that money comes from the state. Only a small portion of that comes from the federal government. So no, I'm sorry. It's not a Band-Aid. It is an attack. It's an ideological attack most of all, and it is used as a justification for the continued immiseration of the entire working class in this country. So you can call it a Band-Aid if you want, because you don't accept that $1.7 trillion of our income tax is taken by the government and $600 billion at best is only given back, and that is not given back in a fair way. You call that somehow our government giving us something. No, they're stealing from us.
Yes.
So secondly, the biggest thing, though, the biggest thing in that is the notion that somehow there's ever going to be fairness or equity within this system of representatives, capitalist government. It can't deliver that. And my only reason for questioning...
I don't think that this government will give you equity.
Well, my only reason for questioning someone around, or say, if someone says to me, hey, should I fill out the census? I'd say, I don't care. I wouldn't do it, you know? If you do it, fine, but don't expect anything of it. Because if you do, they're getting you in their game. And that's largely what it's about. It's a system. Look, repression, only part of the way they control us is not just through their jail system and through their police operation. The biggest way they control us is by consent, is by the consensus that is built into things like the census, where they get us to agree to our own exploitation. And you call that not an attack. I mean, that is an attack. It's an attack on workers.
Look, I can't change your mind about that, right? And this is what we're doing here on What's Left. We're trying to get, the three of us are really trying to really put it out there for people to critically choose what they want to, listening to this argument. I'm in agreement with you on that aspect. I do think that this is a robbery, that it's not enough for our communities. Nor do I expect the government to save us. But just like with the $1,200 check, are you just going to say no to it? I think our families, our lower income families, are largely disappointed by it. But they're not going to refuse it if it comes this way.
But I'm saying I want more. That's what I'm saying.
And I'm saying we should get more.
I get that.
And I'm saying that we should do just more than just go through these channels. But I'm saying, whatever, just pick up the 1200, whatever, just pick it up and use it for what you need if it's very momentary. That's all I'm saying. And the federal and state dollars that will come in, very meager. I mean, I think that a little bit will just go, at least a few. You know, I think of it just like in the immediate. And if that is terrible, you both think that that's just terrible for me to just humbly accept a little, just meager portion of something. Well, you know, someone somewhere will use those resources.
As a curiosity, out of these resources, does all the money go to these so-called social programs? Is there any police funding for this? I don't know, because I don't know.
Yes. It's part of paying for police and fire and things like that.
Yes.
And
yes,
prisons.
There is. As well as traffic control and, yes.
So can they buy their toys, you know, like their tanks, you know, that they use in Oakland, for example, the SWAT team from that fund? I'm just curious.
I don't know the specifics to that, Kenny, but I wouldn't actually be surprised. I mean, I'm not, look, I feel like I'm defending some. I feel you can, maybe it looks like it and that's perceived and that's all right. I'm not saying that this is a solution. I want to be extra clear. Maybe I'm being repetitive here. And it does serve, at least in 2015, 132 government programs that were social programs. I wish I had a pie. Maybe I'll post one or find one. How much of this the money was allocated for social programs compared to other state programs such as police and traffic control and all of that? But yes, they are largely funded to have 9/11 responders be funded, and as well as to support domestic abuse programs. So it's controversial. I understand.
I said all I'm going to say. Can you give any last thoughts?
I don't know what race I am. I really don't.
I just to be clear, Kenny, I guess I didn't know if you responded to this or not, or Maybe you did respond to it in a different way. I'm trying to figure out, you're saying that when you said, like, where are the communities being served? Are the communities, I just mentioned some social programs, are the communities that you serve, whatever the demographics are, demographics as far as race, I'm talking about most of the people that you work with, mm-hmm. as a community organizer, you work with people who are largely low income. Are they not using these resources in the Bay Area?
I can say, tell you this much. Most of the resources is not public funding. The ones that they're using to survive right now doing this bleed out is not public funding.
So are they, most of their children, if the families that you work with, most of the children go to private school? Is that it?
They're public school, but they're not in school right now. And so how are they feeding themselves?
Right, not now, but I'm saying when school was in session, largely, were most of their families, their children going to public school or private school? Because I'm wondering, maybe you work with rich families. I would think...
What is your point? I don't get it. What is your point?
Because I'm just curious. You're saying that where are they using them or how are they using them? How are, the mixed status families can go and use these social programs. The hospitals that we have that can be covered by SF Health Plan or Healthy Kids, Healthy Families. We have programs here in San Francisco that do use these resources that largely, I remember going to a lot of these places, clinics, when I would have Saul and go with him, largely are predominantly Latino families. So I'm just wondering, when you say, where are the programs, are they not using any of these programs?
They're not holding up right now, Eduardo. They're not.
You're talking about right now. Even the healthcare programs are in session. They're still there. But I'm just saying, in general, are they not using these programs prior to coronavirus?
I don't know. Some of them are. Some of them get food stamps. Is that enough?
It isn't enough. I agree with that. But when you ask the question, I almost feel as if it's not even being used at all. And that's where I have a problem, because I know these families myself, having worked at a school where 90% of the population was Latino, and all of them used, all of them, high percentage of them had school free lunch program, high percentage of them had a social worker that were guiding them to use the public resources in San Francisco. I worked with that population, and I know that they use these resources. So when you ask me a question like that, I almost feel as if then, I don't know, like, there's a disconnect.
You're assuming that these resources are enough. That these resources don't matter.
I didn't say that they were enough. I keep saying that they're not enough.
If it's 5%, 10%, it's as good as nothing.
You're saying what? Are you saying that they shouldn't get anything?
What I'm saying is the communities help themselves.
The communities that also use these resources.
Some resources, yeah, but right now communities are...
A lot of resources, Kenny. I mean, I don't have the... Maybe I'll pull them out later, but a lot of these resources.
Okay. A lot? Right.
Yes.
A lot in relationship to what people... So now, Eduardo...
Country, distribution. Look at...
Oh my God, Eduardo. Look what you've done. You've made a lie now for the capitalists. You've just turned their scraps that they give us into a lie. You are now lying for the ruling class here on this channel. You are trying to tell people that what they get is actually a lot. What they get is enough. I understand what happened here, Eduardo.
I did not say this.
No, then you cannot definitely say not a lot.
I keep repeating throughout this episode.
What you are not willing to say
is not enough.
No. They're being robbed, Eduardo. People are being robbed, stolen from by the ruling class. Their wealth is distributed upward, and it's being redistributed up to them, okay? They are getting robbed, and occasionally they can have the pleasure of getting some of it to trickle down, so they get a little at the bottom. And you're telling people, oh, you use that, so that's fine. That's why Kenny's having a problem.
I did not say that.
You are saying it's fine.
What I have been saying throughout this entire episode, it is meager. It is very, very little, minuscule.
Not only that, Eduardo, you are not willing to acknowledge it's a robbery. There's theft underneath it. People's money is being taken and they're getting less back. That's the whole point of this. That's the basis of this system. It's based on theft, exploitation. And our government is only doing a piece of it. We're not even talking about the theft that goes into the wage element, that you, every piece of your work, you are robbed. Now it's the money that came from your wages that went back up to income tax up there is not being redistributed in a fair way.
So I have a question for you both then. So these programs that are underfunded, so you should, so let's say everyone listening to this episode, 100 of them or more than them, so we should just not fill out the U.S. Census, fine. So what is your solution for these underfunded programs?
Revolution.
Right. And when that revolution happens,
Underfunded programs don't work. They don't work, Eduardo.
All right. When will this revolution happen, according to you?
When people recognize these programs don't work.
I think people know that already.
They don't.
I mean, you're telling them to fill out the census. And they know. They're not stupid.
I can guarantee you everyone who fills out the census thinks that there's something coming back their way.
No. I'm filling it out and I don't think that.
You were telling other people to do it so they can get something. Eduardo, you're lying now.
No, I think most people are smart enough to know that just filling it out isn't really going to help them a lot.
Eduardo, go back to the beginning of your argument. What was it? Go back to the beginning of this episode. What was your argument?
That you will get some funding.
There you go. That's it. Done.
The communities.
Done. There's a lie you told. There's a lie you just told. That's not enough. We've got to go beyond that and recognize scraps are not enough. We have to have a revolution.
So you're saying the revolution is just a solution for this?
Yes. It's the only solution.
When will this revolution come?
Partly when people recognize that there is no other solution but it.
So I'm just wondering when.
That's a good question. I think it's very hard to come about, and I think it's getting harder by, as a result of, one, this coronavirus, separation of people, and two, liberals.
So is this revolution going to come this year?
Not likely.
Is it going to come next year, Kenny or Andy?
Not likely.
So I'm just wondering, what will people do till then?
Apparently, continue to try to make this system work, which is only going to leave us over a cliff.
I'm not advocating for that.
That's what you're doing.
I hope that they don't, because that's not what I'm saying.
You just told them to fill out the census.
Anyone listening to this will know that I'm not advocating for them to uphold the system. I'm advocating to just try to make it through, especially when you're hard hit to this economy. This economy that largely is stealing, yes, that largely depends on us, and we should at least try to survive with what little we can. How can you tell some mother that is working double shift, that is single parent, just tell her, oh, let's revolutionize, when they're just trying to put food on the table? They're not thinking about revolution at this moment. They should. I encourage it. But for the time being, I think that they should, we shouldn't try to say that no resources should come their way. So people can take it however they hear us. I'm not saying that this is the solution. I am saying that this is a Band-Aid. And I don't want you to, I'm repeating myself because you keep saying that I'm saying this, I'm saying that. I'm not saying that. And I want to be clear for our folks because I don't want to be labeled a certain way. And I'm just saying, Again, this is not the solution. This is not the solution. This is not the solution. By filling it out, this is not the solution. But it will help just a tiny, tiny bit for you, for those of you that don't know where your next meal will be coming.
All right. I relent.
Not relent to the argument. I know you don't agree.
I know.
But I think that you're done with what we've said.
Yes. Unless, again, Kenny is looking very unhappy over there.
What is it, Kenny?
I mean, we can go on and on. Like, again, you're talking about meals. That's literally what I'm doing right now. And you brought up food pantries. There's enough. You know, and
I didn't say it was enough.
No, so,
for that. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. We're going to go in loops, but... Yes. Again, fill it out. If you can figure out what race you are, please fill it out.
I say just everyone should put that they're white.
I say that. Like, if you're going to fill it out, why don't you put your white? Maybe and that's as good as maybe just counting people, not race or anything else, just counting people.
Don't let yourself get gerrymandered.
Anyhow. So that concludes this part.
I will say one thing to point out is you can get fined for not filling it out. and you can, I think it's against the law to lie on it. So clearly the U.S. state has a stake in this stuff.
That's very encouraging. I think I might do it now.
Well, I am in disagreement that it is mandatory, as I had said.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I'm in disagreement. I don't think anyone should be forced to do anything like that. I just, again, will say I do encourage it. I'm on the side that I think that you should fill it out. And that's it. We've already saved one.
Yeah.
Karina, should we conclude this episode?
Well, let me. Should I bring up the thing I raised offline?
Go on, Andy.
Yes. Kenny, I think I tried to call you and we never got a chance to talk. My feeling is in the coming season, in the coming weeks and months, I actually think we should start to address issues around the economy, issues around the private equity, issues around the Federal Reserve, issues around gas prices and gas futures and how it works. And like just begin our own exploration into the way the economy is structured under capitalism and see if we can figure some things out. I'm not committing us to saying we will, like every week, you know, we'll be touching on those things, but I'm thinking it's something that we really need to kind of like get ourselves to do, because I noticed for myself even that some of these issues seem complicated and seem like, oh, I don't understand them. And I actually think they're intentionally so, but I think it's worth us here on What's Left trying to make sense of some of this stuff. And trying to have the courage to just go through it and like do our best to try to make sense of these things and find out what we don't understand, because this is the kind of discussion we do think needs to happen among other workers.
All right.
And I know, Eduardo, you had some thoughts about it.
Well, I don't really have very strong thoughts, because as you and I had, you spoke about it with me over the phone, I get the sense that we are sort of, as I had said, I'll just say what Kenny wasn't in the conversation, I want to say it here, is that we're going to be, I'm not that strong with economic politics, the details of economic policies, even socialist the economics of socialism is I've read into it somewhat, and it's still very challenging for me, I will admit. Mm-hmm. So I will just say, if we're going to enter this, I'm going to be learning along the way, and I will as well make some mistakes around it. I will as well improvise with it, and we can fumble our way through. At least I will be fumbling my way through. I'm curious what you both have to say about the your perspective on the economics of our current situation, or just in general. And I will play along. I will play ball with both of you with this topic. I have started to listen to a podcast by a socialist economist, so I will be trying to pay attention more to the economy. What happened, Kenny? Huh?
Is it Richard Wolff?
Yes. Begin listening to Richard Wolff. There is another one too. I've heard on The Intercept, but I forget his name right now. Mm. Maybe I'll post it on the links below.
What are your thoughts, Ken?
I'm down. I mean, I think it's an essential part of this whole thing. I think that the intention of this podcast, even though we may have some tense moments and disagreements, and the idea is to talk about things. And at least me, I come from a point of view that this information, these things, this knowledge should be accessible to anyone. And part of the process of doing this is to make it accessible and not talking these like cryptic terms, just make it, you know, accessible to people. And because otherwise, we are in the same bullshit, you know, holding information for only the people that can access it. And so I think that's part of my mission in this show, is to be able to deconstruct the things that I think I know, and, you know, put him out there so you both can challenge them, you know, or mainly Eduardo. but you know, yeah, I'm completely down. Like, I don't think it's a big departure. It might get a little more technical, but, you know, I think it's important.
Since this is your idea, though, Andy, whoever puts forth an idea for a topic, I think should try to lead it somewhat.
Okay.
Because I don't know what vision or what intention you had in going into
this. I actually have an idea, and I don't know if you want me to talk about it. Some of this was like what's called the Cantillon effect, which was like I was reading into how not just how much money goes places, but the timing of money matters. And then figuring out what's happening with private equity, and then finding out about this negative price for oil and what the implications of the negative price for oil were. Like, I'm not saying like each of those are their own individual topic that reflects some aspect of how our economy works. And so I definitely want to touch on any one of those, you know, like not all of them, like one of them, like on an episode. But part of me was thinking, actually, Rosa Luxemburg wrote an unfinished series called What is Economics? With question mark. And I actually think it would be worth us reading that. It's not actually pretty simple. I think you'll find that the argument she makes, I haven't read the whole thing, but I'm like, oh, this is worth us reading. Because actually her overall argument is that capitalists intentionally obscure economics. And that's really what she's saying. And she's trying to basically say, so what is the heart of economics when the class that you're fighting is always trying to obscure that very thing that you're supposed to know? And I think it's worth starting there and see what we make of that.
Definitely. I mean, we might even get into like the foundational aspects of economics and things like that. Like simple things as the principles that you are taught in basic economics about human beings, you know, and those are the pillars that like sustain the, you know, this pseudoscience.
And if you chose to do that, this would be a very different episode because we would have like, this was about this reading. We would do that reading and then we would see, what do we make of this thing? Like, what did we agree with? What did we disagree with? What did we found confusing? And we'd be probably making a case to people that you should read this. Like, we'll post the PDF because you can find it online on a PDF. I have it on a book, but you can find it online as a PDF. It's like 16 pages. And I think it's something that we could start off with because I think it frames the question of economics for us in a way that gives us the permission to be not wise about it or ignorant about it.
No, yeah, we could do a series of episodes on this topic and jump back and forth
right.
of other topics.
Right.
And when we go back to this specific topic, we'll call it back onto series of the our economic series, right?
Right. Right.
However we call that.
Right. And you know, obviously some things will happen some week that are just, we have to get to it. Or we have some personal ones, like we were talking one that's personally important to Kenny, one that's personally important to me, that'll be thrown in there somewhere. But I want to set the goal in the coming months to try to really hit some of these areas that might not have a point to them other than to look more deeply at the way our economy is structured and functions as it relates to any particular issue. Maybe it's the stock market. Maybe, like I said, private equity. I don't know. It's whatever comes to people's mind. It might be Kenny's idea. It might be your idea, Eduardo. But you're saying, hey, let's look at this week.
It's funny that you bring this up because this week has been about that. Like, I've been thinking a lot about that. And I, like, I post stuff on Instagram, and it's been about, like, today I made a comment about, like, economists to me are just system managers. Their job is not to challenge, but, you know, just manage the economy. Yeah. But, you know, to talk about it, yeah.
And, you know, Brian, you know, who listens to the show, he's been on me about, like, we got to learn about economics. And I've been like, I don't want to. But the reality is we can't escape it. We cannot escape the way that they understand. No, the way the system works and trying to, we need to understand it in their terms in order to figure out how we're going to change it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm up for it. I'm up for it. It'll be a learning experience for me. I think that it's challenging.
Yeah.
I'll just admit. But I think that, as we had said previously, that this is an open discussion, and I hope that I'll probably be learning along the way and making some mistakes with it. But I think that rawness will help some of our other folks that listen or watch us to also sort of play around with this.
I say shit I regret all the time. It's fine.
Yeah, let's wrap up. All right. Thank you. I mean, you both really challenged me today.
I know.
It was very
honor punch.
It was very challenging taking on two people today.
Yeah, no, you did great.
But so I hope that my audience will be very sympathetic with
Brandy
me.
Brandy will be proud of you.
But I think it's important, as I would like to repeat, just because maybe new followers or will be able to hear this out. We on What's Left, right, are interested in debates. I think that especially during this time where most people are politically divisive, that it's okay to disagree, to agree to disagree, and we're still friends and we love each other and we have an open discussion. So that I think we're modeling for others what it looks like to still put on the gloves and then take them off and go hang out, you know,
right.
Or virtually hang out.
Yes.
Anyhow, all right. So that does it for this week's topic. What's Left is a weekly political podcast / channel challenging the mainstream left. We post information about our topics and our guests on the episode notes where you found this episode or on our blog at what-s-left.webnode.com. You can find this past episodes of this podcast / channel right there on our blog and connect with us. If anyone likes this podcast / channel, please share your favorite episode, rate, review, subscribe, and best of all, share with your family and community. You can find us on iTunes Podcast, Stitcher, Google Play, BitChute, or YouTube. And if you would like to give us feedback about something you've heard or suggest something for us to cover, contact us through our blog. That does it. Thank you both, Andy and Kenny. We'll
Thanks,
see you all
Eduardo.
Next time. Wash your hands.
Yeah, sorry. Take care.
Have you heard anything from school?
Like what?
Like in terms of what's happening next? Like, I mean, May, right? Like May, what's the...
Yeah. I mean, we're done for the year in terms of going to the building, right?
Okay.
So
that's what I'm wondering, like officially.
Yeah.
That's it.
And the interesting thing will be next is what the board says about grades. Our union did a really good job on the MOU. And we can do synchronous learning or asynchronous learning, which means we either do Zoom classes or not. We don't have to go by a set schedule. We just have to work 4 hours a day. It's very liberal in terms of deciding what you do in those 4 hours. Rarely have I seen the union put together an MOU this good. I do think that this push we made around the all A's was helpful in getting our union to take a better position. So we'll see.
All right.
Eduardo wants me to flunk the students.
Need to learn how to do.
Whip them. Get them back into check.
Have
them learn that they need to be on time. They need to be in the classroom, even if it's online. Life's not going to treat them very fairly.
That's right.
What you're doing for them is a disgrace. They're going to get bad habits, and they're going to get lazy.
That's right. The digital divide.
And by the time they go to university, they're all failing because of Andy Lipson giving them free A's.
And Eduardo's trying to get them to university so they can pay these institutions all their money and get nothing for it. Anyway,
let's get into it. All right.
All right.